And we're going to look, starting tonight, we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to do an intro in to it. But we're not going to go to 1 Thessalonians to begin with, because we're going to start back in Acts, because what we're looking at deals, what we're going to look at in 1 Thessalonians here deals with Acts 15:22 through Acts 18:18, I believe. And we're not going to read all that, but I want to read a little of it so we can kind of get part of 15 and a little bit of 16, so we can get an introduction for you back in, because if you haven't been in Acts for some time, you know, it's something that's real, real dear to my heart. And to realize this too, that we can understand from this, and, you know, Paul had his deal with Christ on the Damascus Road in Acts 9. And then in Acts 10, Cornelius was sent there to pray for him and for Paul to get his sight back. And Paul had been told, you know, what he was to do for the Lord. And we realize that as God chooses, he chose the right man for the job. And the fact that he chose the Apostle Paul, because by the time, you know, in Acts 10 also, Gentiles were, the sheet, you know, came down to Peter. And so the offer was made for the Gentiles to be brought into the Jewish hope in Acts 10. But by the time we get to Acts 15, Paul had made as he had made a reputation for himself early on there in Acts, he had made another reputation because of his change. And Paul had been commissioned by the Lord as an apostle. And, or apostolos, an ambassador of the gospel. He was one sent by God. In the Greek, in the Strong's, it was number 652. And Paul was officially made a commissioner of Christ, or an apostle. And nobody seemed to doubt it, because where he went, the Holy Spirit's work through the Apostle Paul was extraordinary. It was something that people had not seen, and it was something that caused the people to either take to this that was being preached by Paul and those that he had to help him, or it caused the others to want to pick up, for one thing, stones and stoning.
Because
they already did it.
Yeah.
And they were always, and some of them had took a vow that they wouldn't sleep till they killed Paul. And so this was the situation. And I think we can see and understand the things that went on there was the hand of Satan at work by his people there against God's will for that day and that time. and for what Paul was teaching and preaching. And so nobody really had to explain when Paul showed up. They knew that what he said was going to be truth, and you either stood for truth or you stood for the lie. And so Paul was a commissioner of Christ. From Acts 9, Damascus Road experience, Paul was sent to speak and spread and share God's word, and that was confirmed in Acts 10, and what we have here basically covers Acts 15, 22, up to Acts 18, 18. So if you went back, and if you want to do this, you go back and you can read it all, and you can pretty well get what we're going to talk about for the next about 7, 8, and 9 studies, because it's going to take at least that long to get through, because 1 Thessalonians is not too long. So, having said that, turn with me back to Acts 15:22. Acts 15:22. And they had a meeting in Jerusalem. And we're going to pick it up there. Well, let's start in verse 20, Acts 15:20. But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols. This is the four things that they agreed that they would, that Paul then would preach. And from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses of old times hath in every city them that preach them being read in the synagogue every Sabbath day. And it said, then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. Now, Paul had Barnabas with him at this time, and namely Judas, whose surname was Barabbas, and Silas, or Silvanus, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Caesarea. Full stop. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised to keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves you shall do well, fare ye well. And when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch. And when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, the letter, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas being prophets, okay? You see, they were prophets. They were still prophets at this time. Also themselves exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abode there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. So Mark had, he had kind of shirked his duty with Paul, and Paul being the main character here, the one chosen by God to get this word and get these people ready to hear something new. He didn't go to the work with them, but he was there now. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other, and so Barnabas took Mark and he sailed. They were, you know, at a seaport, and they sailed into Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So this was how Silas, or Silvanus, as we find in 1 Thessalonians when we get there, being together. And then the first part of chapter 16 gives you a little more of the story here. And it said, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus. Okay, so you see, Paul's entourage was going to grow a little bit. The son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish, or a Jew lady, and believed, but his father was a Greek. Full stop. Well, there's a little problem here, so we have to stop for just a second, think about this. Well, you got a young Timothy here was a disciple, and evidently he had heard the word of God to a point, and he believed on God, but he wasn't a full Jew. He was just part Jewish. Well, it seems like that wouldn't be a big problem, but to some people it is. And that was the reason they went and got the letter at Jerusalem to begin with. So here we go. Which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and he took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father, they all knew or knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees to keep that which were ordained of the apostles and elders, which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in numbers daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So they attempted or were planning on their own to go into Asia. And after they were come to Mysa, they essayed to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them not. So it wasn't God's will that those three go. Well, they were more than three. Because what we're reading here is the work of Luke, and he was with them, and he was the one doing the writing of this. And so when you go through Acts and you see the word we, that was the doctor that was with them. You know, Paul asked the Lord to take care of the thorn that he had in him, but he didn't take care of the thorn. He just gave him a doctor. So I like to look at it like that.
Man's way and God's way, right?
Yeah, and they passing by Mysa came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he, Paul, had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored. So here's your we. This includes Paul and Silas and Timothy and at least Luke.
I think this is actually the first week.
We endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosening from Troas in a ship, we came with a straight course to Samaria, and the next day to Neapolis. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by the riverside where prayer was wont to be made. We sat down and spake unto the women who resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple in the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of by Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace, unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's hands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spoke unto him the words of the Lord, and all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into the house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. We're about done with this part of it. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeants, saying, "Let the man go." And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go into peace." But Paul said unto them, "They have beaten us openly and uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now they do thrust us out privily? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out."
I love that.
And the sergeant told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And when they were out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia, where they had seen Brother, they comforted them and departed. So that's part of 15 and all of 16. But you see how it was with Paul. There was no middle ground here. You either was a believer and chose it, or you were on the opposite side. And these men lost the girl who could had the spirit of divination in her. And so they had lost their woman that was making them a living. And so that's the reason they wound up having Paul and Silas, you know, put in the prison. And so we read all this to get involved in Thessalonians 1:1. And so we'll go back to there. It's on page 1788 if you've missed your spot. It said, "Paul and Silvanus," or Silas, "and Timothy," or Timotheus, "unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the introduction to Thessalonians. So, here is Paul, is the first word. And he says, in all his other epistles, save Philippians, 2 Thessalonians, and Philemon, Apostolos is added. He was held in terms of tender regard and affection by the converts at Philippi and Thessalonica, and there was no need to assert his authority. When they heard him, those that believed, they understood why he was there. And he was a minister of God. And then you have Silvanus or Silas, a leader of the church at Jerusalem in Acts 15:22. And he was also a prophet. And he accompanied Paul on his second missionary journey and took part in the founding of the churches of Macedonia. And this is what this epistle basically takes care of here. And then you got Timotheus. And Timotheus, that was Acts 16:1-4. And then that was where Paul took and carried him and had him circumcised. And so he did that in order that the Jews that he was speaking to and teaching to would not be offended by who he was. And then you got the word here, church, was appendage 186. And it'll be good to go there if you got a companion Bible. I'd like for you to go there for a minute to appendage 186. And I know this is a lot of information that we're going through, but there's a kind of the church or the ecclesia. In 186, there's a little note of a thing in the lower left-hand column there, and it kind of gives you a better example of the word church than what I could write in notes. And it says, number one, Kahal. And it occurs in the Old Testament 123 times. Congregation 86 times. Assembly 17. Company 17. And multitude 3 times. The Septuagint uses synagogue and ecclesia as practical synonymous terms, but the synagogue concerns the bringing together of the members of an existent society or body, eluding all others. And he's talking here about the Jews. When you went into their synagogues, you were a Jew or you were an outsider. Yeah. That's just the way it was. Whereas the ecclesia calls and invites all men, including outsiders everywhere, to join in. So synagogues being permanently associated with the Jewish worship was dropped by the early Christians in favor of ecclesia as of a wider import. And number two is derived from the Greek, Kyrotekos, or of belonging to the Lord's house, which is okios, being understood. It comes to us through, I don't know what the AS time was, but it in the Scottish, it means kirk. So it was, with Elkios, it was, that part was added as part of a Scottish word that brings that one out. But you have the Jews who wanted to be apart, set apart for the service of God, but yet they didn't do the work that they were supposed to do for God. And so here, after Acts 10, with what Peter got when the Lord brought the sheet down and showed him here, he says, here, take and eat. And the realization was now that it was Jew and Gentile together in those terms. And so this was carried on through Acts 15, 16, 17, and 18. And a lot of these places were established in those four chapters of Scripture. So, back to Thessalonians 1:1. Of the Thessalonians, it says the note on Thessalonians as the word in there is within space and place. And God, where it says God there and God the Father, is Theos. And I can't read my writing. And this is God in all aspects, which is the Father, or the Pater, the relationship of ancestors or seniors. And in, again, there's another in there. It says, in the Lord, in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the space and place of the Godhead, the Lord there is Kyrios, or owner, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He was the one promised. And and it says, and the lesson there is grace, or cherish a gift of unmerited favor, be unto you in peace. And the peace there is 1515. In the Strong's, it means to join and rest, generally speaking. And it's from motion from the surface of an object to touch another. So when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, it was his job in his place. He had motion from the surface of the Godhead to touch mankind in any way that it seemed necessary. This is God our Father and both the Lord Jesus Christ rolled up or balled up as part of that Godhead in verse 1. And then in verse 2 we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Verses 2, 3, 4. It's the thanksgiving that Paul has of being there and being able to teach these people and show them God's will and their life and that purpose. And he says, we as believers, which also includes Luke here, I think, gives thanks. 21:68, to express gratitude to God. Always. And always there is belonging to an age. For you all making mention by name of you in our prayers. And that word there is euche. E-U-C-H-E in the Greek. And it means have a vow made unto God. This is Paul's prayer or euche. And then he says in verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. So it says remembering or calling to mind without ceasing the ongoing of your work or your faith or the faithful work and labor. And this is loving labor or toil as of love and of patience of hope or a waiting hope. And he says, in or of our Lord Jesus Christ, in or within the sight of God, Theos, and even our Father, and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your relation of God. And knowing there is part of that. Knowing there is to know without effort. Brother, beloved, and that word there is agapeo. It is agapeo love. To regard with favor your election or your choosing of God. And he is talking about here in verse 5, the reason for power. And it says in verse 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. And in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. So verse 5 goes on to say, for our gospel or our good news came not, absolutely, no not, unto you in word only. It wasn't by word only, but also in power. This is the inherent power, the power or power on power, and in the Holy Ghost, this was the divine power. And it says, and in much assurance in the power of the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, this is faithful knowledge, as you know, have his knowledge that has the knowledge of God by this power that the Holy Ghost gives you. What manner of men we were, or as examples to you, or among you, for your sakes. And ye became followers of us, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost. So, Paul here again, even with the power of God dealing with their work here, there is always the other side of things that stands in the way of what God's word is. When it was pretty evident with these men that when you started teaching and preaching God's word, that the prince of the air was going to make some kind of a disturbance here. Like he did when we was reading in 16 there with the one that followed him around, you know, saying,
it's already working.
These men are the power, they are the men of God. She was right about that. But nevertheless, it got to be it went on many days evidently, and it got to be a kind of like a broke record, you know, for
them. Can you imagine how harassing that would be? Because she probably didn't let up even during the night.
Well, and wherever they went, probably.
Follow you around everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere you go.
Yeah.
You know. And it was drawing a crowd, I guess,
yep.
But still, you know, it was.
And I bet the statement itself was almost mockingly.
Yeah.
Even though she said the truth. The words that she said was true.
They're the way it was.
It was probably the way she said
it.
She wasn't saying it to help them.
Right.
She was saying it, I think, in a mocking way.
Yeah. So we'll do verse 6. And we'll see what we get here. And it said, and you became followers or imitators of us. So it's, when you're associated with one that has this association with the God of the creator of the world, I don't think it's wrong to be called an imitator. Because
I remember, even in the scripture I read last week, Paul told them, be ye imitators of me as I am of Christ.
Right. So this, you know, he hadn't changed it any, so
yeah.
Here we go.
He was staying on track.
And you became followers or imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction or tribulations. Because when the word is being put out at this time and these places, they were going to be those that were against it.
Oh, yeah.
With tribulations, it doesn't say exactly to what the tribulations were, but it says afflictions. With joy, to overcome, or that joy is by the power of the Holy Ghost, full stop. And we'll do 7, because 7 is the rest of 6. After the full stop, it says, so that ye were examples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia. So the imitators became examples. There's not a whole lot of difference, I don't think, between imitators and examples here, because it was the work of the Lord being carried forth. And the examples is 5179, and the Strong's in the Greek, and the word is tupos, and it means a die or a stamp or a star as a model or type or figure or form. And so the example there was and the explanation of the word was like, you know, an imitation. If you're using a die and you're stamping out something, you get the same thing every time. And it doesn't change unless something happens to the die or something. It stays the same thing. So the example and the imitators gives you the idea of it's all kind of one of a kind according to what God is carrying out here to these people in these places that can believe and have faith. In these two places, in Macedonia and Achaia. So, we'll stop there at the end of verse 7, and I have talked and ran out of time, and we'll pick it up with 8 and go on there, but, if you would like, go ahead and read the rest of 17 and at least part of 18, and that'll give you some idea of what the situation is here, because Acts is a timeline of things that happened after the death of Christ and him being raised and went back into heaven. And so this timeline goes on, you know, for a period of time, all the way down to Acts 28, where Israel has had the clock unplugged for them and has been set aside. And but these events that were taking place here was the events that currently took place as they went through these hamlets and towns and seaports and wherever they were on their journeys from one place to the other. And you can see by this that at this point, Paul didn't get to go into Asia like he wanted to, but he's wound up in Macedonia and Achaia. God had need for him to be there. And so God was directing Paul's feet and directing his path. And these people were, that he went to and that he established here in the very first part of Thessalonians here, they were pretty fervent in what they believed in. And so Paul was getting good results from his ministry and from what he was doing, even though you will notice as you go along, you will notice the problems that arise with them and those things, because Satan is not going to allow it to go by undisturbed. It's just not going to happen that way. And so we'll pick it up with 8, 1-8 next time. And there's not but 10 verses here in the first chapter, but I've already done most of chapter 2, but we'll pick it up next time and go on from there. So thank you for your prayers for my little great-granddaughter. I hope that I get to go see her this weekend. I'm not sure, but I'm working on the maybe making a trip down there, because I have only seen her in pictures through the smartphones, and I haven't got to see her in person. And so she's went through a lot of stuff. They did the operation Monday morning on her to get her to where, to get her flaps or whatever they call it, to, you know, to cut the air off when you take in food, or cut the food off when you take in air, and to get all that straightened out. And she had a little problem with her tummy too. So hopefully they've got it squared away now, but keep them on your mind. Continue to pray for me. And I've started taking a little different medication that I can control the pain that's in my feet and legs a little bit better, and maybe get my sugar level down some. It's been pretty good. It hadn't been bad the last few days. I thought maybe it would change some after I quit taking the baby aspirin, but it got better, really.
Good.
Got better, so I guess the people were right about their medication stuff, because they say that there's a lot of metals that's put into medicines that your body can accept and absorb, but I'm not so sure in a long-term deal that that's a real good shot to go with. So I'd like to hang around a little longer anyway. So I'm working it that way. So pray for me. Thank you for being with us tonight, too.